we're going to talk about the broken transportation infrastructure in the United States. Is that correct?
We are.
You know, I drive I-81 for 30 miles every day, and so I get to see it firsthand every day. There's a lot of cars, there's a lot of trucks, and there's a lot of backups. And so I'm sure 81's not the only road in America that is having that problem. So we kind of know there is a problem. The question becomes, how do we fix that problem?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, look, I mean, we certainly have a system for our surface transportation that has been underinvested in for a generation, and as a result, we all now get to reap the rewards of that underinvestment, which is too much traffic, too many potholes, goods that don't move fast enough, so those trucks on I-81 are not getting to where they need to go in a timely enough fashion, which actually ends up costing all of us more money. Really, part of the way to fix it is to spend some more money on our infrastructure more directly. So in other words, we just need to invest a little bit more of our resources. I think you're probably aware, and hopefully your listeners are aware, that we've done some work in Virginia recently. There's going to be some additional resources being spent on I-81 to sort of improve that transportation system in that corridor. But what we're talking about, at least at the federal level, is how the federal government needs to become a better partner and increase revenues for surface transportation. One of the ways we've been focused on that activity is actually through talking about increasing the federal motor fuels tax. We haven't done that since 1993. I liken it to not getting a raise, if you will, since 1993. And what we're really trying to do at this point is purchase roads designed for 2019 with 1993 dollars, which doesn't really make sense.
All right. Now, the study says that the traffic congestion in especially urban areas is costing the U.S. economy nearly $87 billion last year. How did they come to that conclusion that it's cost the economy nearly $87 billion?
Well, I mean, that is primarily sort of a combination of a number of things. One, it's the time folks in urban areas waste in traffic. I drive in an urban area, Washington, D.C., every day. I can tell you I waste time in traffic. I haven't calculated because I probably don't really want to know the number. I think the number that's talked about is in excess of 60 or 70 hours a year. It might even be more than that, depending on exactly where you live in the metro area of Washington, D.C. So it's that wasted time for individuals. It's wasted fuel. Your car is still on while you're sitting in that traffic, and it's still burning gas or diesel or whatever. And so you are wasting that gas that you could actually be using to move forward. And so we're wasting a lot of fuel. And then, you know, when it comes to goods movement, for many goods movement people who are trying to move products to market or move things between manufacturing plants, the time is money, and if it's not there on time, goods can end up costing more. So primarily that $87 billion is the time, is the cost for wasted time and wasted fuel. Another number that comes up quite frequently is the condition of our roads and how much it costs American drivers every year to drive on those roads. And that is the cost of potholes and other damage that's done to your vehicle while you're simply driving around. And that's not a good thing. And it costs about $120 billion in extra vehicle repair costs every year, for motorists driving around, on those poorly maintained roads.
Now, earlier you had mentioned that there was some things going on to help I-81, and folks, they want tangible things, especially when it comes to improvements. Can you talk about a little bit what some of those things are that are going to help 81?
I'm not expert on exactly what the deal was that was struck, so I apologize for that. But I do know that there was a compromise struck in the Virginia legislature that's going to improve the roadway system. I believe they're going to add a lane or add some lanes and sort of lessen some of the congestion while also improving the road network. So I think one of the issues on I-81, and I drove it a couple times last summer, was – in addition to the truck traffic making it, and just the traffic traffic, the fact that the road is highly utilized, is also the condition of the roadway also causes problems too. It goes back to that notion that I talked about where car vehicles are getting damaged. So I know the Virginia legislature just reached an agreement in the waning moments of their legislative session, which ended about a month ago.
You are correct. In fact, they're going to raise the gas tax 7 cents per gallon as for those I-81 improvements. Well, now gets me, as you talked about, the federal gas tax, which was designed to keep the highway trust fund solvent. You mentioned it hasn't been raised in over 25 years. Richard Willis, we talked with him. He's with the Americans for Transportation Mobility Coalition. He talked about also about not raising the federal gas tax since 1993.
Correct. We have not. Go ahead.
I was just going to say. So we talked about the federal gas tax. Is that basically the only thing that can be done to help 81? Are there other things that could be done to help 81? Of course, that one of the arguments I believe tolls is something that could be done.
Certainly, it could be. I mean, I think that there's an, but that's an opportunity to do that. The federal government has to allow that, and that's something that could be discussed in this sort of an infrastructure package. I think some of the other items that folks need to start thinking about. We're seeing an increased utilization of electric vehicles. Electric vehicles obviously don't pay any gas tax because they're not using any gas. So at the federal level, we need to figure out a way for those electric vehicles to pay into this transportation system as well. And that's something in some states have actually instituted an electric vehicle registration fee, which it sort of substitutes for the gas tax, if you will. And that's something that needs to be explored at the federal level, whether that's a national registration fee for a vehicle, whether that be an actual tax on the battery itself. That would be levied, but the notion that all vehicles that are going to be utilizing our roadway network pay into the system is an important part of what we think some of the solutions should be.
Of course, we're predominantly talking about Interstate 81, which is right in our backyard, and so the other argument is as far as alleviating traffic. Is it to get trucks off the road, maybe taking advantage of more rail, or making another lane so there's more room for 81? So there's always that argument as well. Do you have a thought either way as to should it be they take more trucks off the road or add another lane?
I think the solution is probably a little bit of both. And so I know that there's the opportunity probably to add a lane on I-81 and even contemplate making that a truck-only lane. That's been talked about for many years. That certainly would assist in this process. The reality is, even with the extensive freight rail network that we have in this country that is well utilized, and some of those trucks ride on those rails till they get to the point where they come off and then can go more locally. I mean, that is something that occurs already. The rail system can't go everywhere. I think that's just part of our transportation network. And so at some point, trucks are part of the solution to this process. And so, the fact that we have not enough lane miles, for example, on I-81, which has become a significant truck route and freight route, is probably the larger problem.
Anything else you would like to add?
Well, I mean, I think the only thing I would add is I think folks, as we talk about this, I think folks need to remember that infrastructure is something not only, it's not just about roads and bridges, and we've spent most of our time talking about roads and bridges, but the notion that we all might need to pay a little bit more may, in some ways, be difficult for some people to maybe understand, but I would simply remind folks that we're paying already. I talked about that price of congestion, the cost of the poor road condition when it damages your vehicles. We did a study at the American Society of Civil Engineers that looked at sort of what the economic cost is of our underperforming infrastructure. And actually what we found is that it costs the American families about $3,400 a year or $9 a day. And that's a combination of a number of things. That include the potholes, it includes pipes that break, It includes those water mains when those pipes break, that they may flood your basement. It's the cost of flooding that we've seen in the Midwest. It is all of those little, all of those pieces of infrastructure that are underperforming cause a problem. And so we really think investing in our infrastructure is terribly important.
All right, you have a great day. If it's okay, I did record some of your comments. Can I play them back?
Absolutely.
All right, well, I appreciate it very much, and you have a great day.
Thanks, Mario. You do the same.
Bye-bye.